let's go to the movies or not. I'm Joseph. This is Input English. Today I have a discussion, the purpose of which is to provide you with comprehensible input. This, of course, is the modern trend in language learning. For most of us, comprehensible input is the missing ingredient. After all, we've studied vocabulary, we've studied grammar, we know some of our target language, but we need input to allow that language to blossom in us, to allow us to develop skills in listening, and to allow us to develop skills speaking. So that is our purpose today. But we have to talk about something, and there is another requirement. What we talk about for comprehensible input needs to be interesting for you. Now, it is not possible for any of us to create videos that are interesting for everyone. People have varying interests. People are interested in a lot of different things. So it's impossible to create a one-size-fits-all. One-size-fits-all is an expression in English that's used metaphorically when we try to create something that suits everyone's needs. For comprehensible input, there is no one-size-fits-all. But there are topics that will capture the imagination of a lot of people. Today, I'd like to talk about the movies. There's a lot to talk about. We could go for hours, but I won't, of course. The movie industry in the United States has been very successful marketing the movies around the world. It is common for movies made in Hollywood to be marketed worldwide. I just used the term Hollywood. So what is Hollywood? Hollywood is a location in Los Angeles. And historically, it was a location where a lot of movies were made. There were movie studios there. In the modern era, movies are made all around the LA basin and are made nationwide. When we say Hollywood now, we usually are referring to the movie industry itself rather than a geographical location. So if I refer to Hollywood movies, I'm not suggesting that the movie was actually made in Hollywood. It was simply made by the U.S. film industry. Over the decades, there has been a lot of change in the movie industry in the United States. Movies have changed because of changes in society, changes in economic conditions, and even because of natural disasters. It is very clear that the coronavirus pandemic had a big effect on the movie industry in the United States. If you compare the present day to the way the movie industry was prior to the pandemic, one of the most obvious changes is that about 10% of the movie theaters in the United States have closed. They went out of business. Viewership of feature-length movies in theaters in the United States is down about 35% compared to pre-pandemic numbers. The pandemic is over. We are no longer shut down. We have no restrictions, but viewership of movies in theaters did not rebound to the pre-pandemic pattern. It is still very depressed. Human behavior has changed. People now watch movies, streaming them online, rather than going to the theater. Each way of watching movies has its advantages and its disadvantages. Going to the theater is more expensive, but it's a very different experience when you watch a movie in a theater. It can be very unpleasant if other people in the theater are talking or interrupting, or it can be very pleasant indeed. we can conclude that the movie industry is under some financial stress because of changes in societal behavior created by the pandemic. And those changes continue to reverberate through Hollywood. So how do you go to a movie in a theater? Well, you have to go there. Often one needs to pay for parking, and then we need to buy a ticket. Historically, we bought the ticket at the ticket office, which is usually referred to as the box office. Another term for box office is ticket booth. The term box office came from a structure in the front of a movie theater, a small room or booth in which a cashier sat. There was usually a glass panel in front of that person, and there might have been a hole through which you would speak to that person. At the bottom of the window, there would be a slot through which money is passed and tickets are passed. The transaction at the box office was pretty simple. One would approach the cashier and tell them what you wanted to see. They would tell you the price, and you would slide the money through the slot at the bottom of the window. And then they would respond by giving you the tickets. They would slide the tickets through that slot so that you could take your tickets. Tickets used to be very small. The tickets we bought for movies years ago were very small indeed, and they were connected to one another. They were printed on a large roll, and if you bought two tickets, they might be connected with a perforated line so that they could be easily torn apart. Once we have our tickets at the theater, we can proceed into the theater if it's movie time. The ticket was presented to another person in the theater, and they would allow you admission into your theater. Things have changed. Now the tickets are not these small tickets that come off of a roll, and it is very common that when one goes into the theater, no one actually checks to see if you have a ticket. They can check, but they don't always check. One of the constant features of movie theaters in the United States is the refreshment stand. When people go to the movies, it is common for them to buy something to drink and something to eat. The classic is popcorn. There are other snacks that are popular, including candy bars or even hot dogs. The refreshment stand is a very important source of revenue for movie theaters. About 60% of theater revenue comes from ticket sales, and about 40% comes from the refreshments. The profit margin on refreshments is estimated to be around 80%. That really makes sense because in most theaters, the refreshments are very expensive if you compare what you get to what you might buy in another location. Things to eat and drink in theaters are expensive. People pay these high prices because of the convenience. They want their refreshments, and they pay that extra cost. What prompted today's discussion of the movies is that I had a recent visit to a theater. I went to the movies with some people and watched a recently released feature movie. When we say feature movie, we're talking about a movie that is typically an hour and a half to 2.5 hours long. An hour and a half is a common length for a movie, perhaps 2 hours. There are a lot of movies that are much longer than an hour and a half or 2 hours. For instance, Gone with the Wind was quite long, as was 2001, The Space Odyssey. Those are classic movies from the distant past. More recently, in the early 21st century, we saw the series Lord of the Rings. those three movies were more than 3 hours long each. There were some extended versions that were about 4 hours long. For a lot of people, that's too long to sit in a movie theater. I, for one. A few days ago, I met some people at a movie theater as planned, and we watched a movie together. The movie was entitled The Devil Wears Prada 2. It was a sequel. So what's a sequel? A sequel is a story, a movie, or some sort of story that continues on from a previous episode. There was a movie, The Devil Wears Prada, and then decades later, they made the sequel, and that continued the story. Many of the same characters were reprised. If an actor reprises a previous role, they act as that character in the sequel. Many of the characters in The Devil Wears Prada 2 reprise their roles from the previous movie. Not all of the characters were represented. The most striking character that did not appear in the sequel was Andy's boyfriend, Nate. Now, as I discuss this movie, I'm not going to spoil the plot for you. I don't want to spoil your experience if you choose to go see this movie. A lot of people will. But there's a lot to talk about. I told you what a sequel is. What if a movie tells a story, but the events in the new story occurred before the previous story? What if it is a flashback to previous events? Then that would be called a prequel. The word, the actual word prequel, is a relatively new word that people developed organically using common sense. People thought, okay, if it's a sequel, what's the opposite of sequel? Sequel is after. So pre means before, and so someone coined the term prequel, starting with sequel as the idea. So indeed, if you talk about something that is a prequel, it is a story that comes before the other parts of the story. In the Star Wars series of movies, there was at least one prequel. Probably more than one. In the Chronicles of Narnia, there is a prequel. So we have covered prequels and sequels. What if the movie is a total remake? What if they start as if the other movie had never been made? Then that would be a remake, or in the modern terminology, a reboot. Where do we get that? Well, in computers, when you turn on a computer, it has to start running something. It has to have some sort of program that allows it to respond to the user. When one turns on a computer, it needs to lift itself up by the bootstraps. That is an old term in English. If one lifts oneself up by the bootstraps, one supports oneself with no outside support. Lifting oneself up by one's bootstraps suggests self-sufficiency. So people in computer science were familiar with that reference, so they talked about the computer starting up with initial commands, and these initial commands were called bootstrap commands. Now, if we restart a computer, we reboot it. That is, we shut it off, and then when we turn it back on, it starts up using those original bootstrap commands, and we just simply call that rebooting the computer. Most of us consider rebooting the computer a way of starting over, going back to original settings. If something has corrupted the function of the computer, restarting it frequently fixes that problem. So if there has been a movie in the past, and they make a new version of it, and the new version makes no reference to the previous movie, it deals substantially with the same story, and is not a continuation of that previous story, then that's a reboot. We see reboots frequently. We'll talk about that in a minute. So I went to the theater with these folks. I showed up early because I figured we would want to talk in the lobby before we went in, and people might need to, for instance, use the bathroom or get some refreshments. So I showed up 30 minutes ahead of schedule, using common sense. Other people showed up about 15 minutes before the movie, using their version of common sense. Now, I didn't get all upset about the difference in our timeline. I was perfectly comfortable sitting there in the lobby, taking it all in. That is, I was just looking around, looking at the atmosphere, watching people, and entertaining myself until the other folks showed up. We greeted each other and then adjourned to the refreshment stand. I had eaten an early dinner before I went to the theater. I did that on purpose because I know what they sell at movie theaters. It's all junk food. It's expensive, but it's not healthy food. It's ultra-processed food. And as tasty as people may find it, I don't consider it wholesome, healthy food. So I ate an early dinner before I went. Some people bought some refreshments, and then it was time to go into the theater and watch the movie. Once one settles into the seat, in this theater, there was a little learning curve because we had to learn where the controls were for the seat. This theater had reclining seats with electric footrests. The seats also had a little table for any refreshments that we might have bought. One big change that I noticed when we went to the theater was that this theater, in contrast to my previous experiences, sold beer. I do not recall any previous visits to a movie theater that included the sales of beer. Things are changing. Once we were comfortable in our seats and had adjusted them with the electronic controls, the movie started, but not the feature, the previews. Some people get a lot of enjoyment out of watching the previews. We find out what movies are going to be coming out in coming weeks and months. Previews are well designed to capture the imagination of the audience, and I can report from my recent visit to the movie theater, they did just that. But they did more than that. They taught me a little bit more about the movie industry. Almost all the previews that were shown in the theater presented information about upcoming movies that were sequels. Basically, all the movies they showed were sequels, with one exception that I can remember. The upcoming Moana movie is not a sequel. It's a reboot. In other words, when we sat through all those previews and saw all the movies that they were planning on showing in coming weeks and months, not one of those previews showcased an original new movie idea. They were all sequels and a reboot. Well, I got curious about that, so I did a little online research trying to see how big a deal this is. Is this a trend or is this just a coincidence? No, it's a trend. In 2026, we are supposed to see the release of dozens of sequels. Looking back, 2025 had a lot of sequels, and 2026 is going to continue that. And of course, I was there to attend The Devil Wears Prada 2, which is a sequel. So what can we say about this movie, The Devil Wears Prada, or The Devil Wears Prada 2? In my opinion, we can point out that it has a very good cast. Actually, the reason I wanted to see this movie was because of the cast. Some of the actors in this movie are well-known and are excellent. Specifically, I went to see this movie because of Meryl Streep and Stanley Tucci. I like their work, and I wanted to see how this movie was. If you take a closer look at this movie, or these two movies, it is easy to recognize that the subject matter might be more interesting to female viewers. There's nothing wrong with recognizing that. Some movies are crafted to appeal to men. The polite slang term for that is a guy flick. And then, in contrast, if a movie is crafted to appeal to women, there is a term of art that is commonly used, but I need to point out that it is a little impolite and it's a little sexist. So I'm going to tell you about it objectively, but it's actually a term of art that I don't use. Some people have called The Devil Wears Prada and The Devil Wears Prada 2 as chick flicks. You can see how people could interpret that as sexist. I don't use the term, but I can repeat it for the purpose of our input today. A lot of expressions in English that are catchy have alliteration. They either start with the same letter or end with the same sound. So Donald Duck, that D sound at the beginning, is a catchy name. Donald Duck was named with that in mind. So if someone says chick flick, both of those words end in I-C-K. The end of the word is the same. So that is a type of alliteration, end alliteration. And that's probably part of the reason that it has stuck with us, because of that alliteration. In spite of the fact that I don't use that term, it was clear to me that the movie was made to appeal to ladies. It dealt with fashion. It dealt with feelings. It dealt with a lot of topics that would appeal to ladies, perhaps more than to men. That's fine. The demographics of the viewership of The Devil Wears Prada 2 thus far is about 75% female viewers and about 25% male viewers. So what about the movie? Did I like it or not? I liked the cast. I thought that Meryl Streep and Stanley Tucci were fantastic. Looking at the storytelling, I found the story a little bit obvious. It was fairly simple. In terms of character development, they developed the character played by Meryl Streep very well. The character played by Anne Hathaway had some dimension as well. As you look at the rest of the cast, a lot of those characters were fairly thinly developed. Some of the male characters could be described as one-dimensional. Just cliches. Now, I understand that the storytelling in movies is constrained by time. No one wants to sit through a four-hour movie so that the script can extensively develop minor characters. I understand that. You could say, I get that. At the same time, I was impressed at the lack of character development of most of the characters in this movie. Did I like it? Not so much. Like I said, I enjoyed the performance of Meryl Streep and Stanley Tucci, but I wasn't impressed with the story, and I stopped short of recommending that other people watch this movie. Watch it if you wish. Going to the movies costs more than streaming online. Of course, the experience is different. In my case, I had to pay for parking. and that was almost as expensive as the theater ticket. I didn't buy any refreshments because, as I explained earlier, it's all junk food. Those of us who attended the movie together had talked about maybe going out for a bite afterward, but as it turned out, it was getting late, and so we called it a night. There's an expression in English, if you call it a night, that means that you finish all your activities and head on home. You call it a night, you head home. So we called it a night. When I got home, it was nearly 9 o'clock at night, so I was grateful that we didn't go out and spend another hour or two in a cafe. I found the experience of watching all those trailers, the previews, very interesting because the previews tell us that in upcoming months, we're going to see a huge offering of sequels. I personally would prefer movies that were more original. I find it a little boring if everything is just a sequel. Seeing the huge number of sequels caused me to wonder if maybe AI is playing a role in this process. Now, AI is used extensively in generating images. Computer-generated graphics are a big part of movie making in the modern era. But this movie that I saw, and most of the movies that were shown in preview, didn't have a lot of CGI. But I wonder what other roles AI may be playing in the movie industry. AI can generate dialogue. It can craft stories. It can make management decisions. It can make recommendations to management about things that would be perhaps more profitable as compared to other options. As I deal with AI in the day-to-day, I think of it as a people pleaser. I observe that AI is designed to answer me in the affirmative, if possible. AI is designed to satisfy the needs of the user. As I think about AI and its possible role in decision-making in the movie industry, I have to wonder if AI is likely to take chances on people or take chances on interesting, different ideas. I think not. I think the way AI tends to be programmed and prompted, it's more likely to offer the safer, more secure approach rather than the riskier approach. Now, I am not accusing the makers of The Devil Wears Prada 2 of making AI slop. This movie was not AI slop. I just wonder if maybe some of the management decisions to make so many sequels at this point in time might have its roots in AI at the management level. I don't know. We'll find out. I suspect if they make too many sequels, people will get sick of sequels, viewership will fall off, and they'll be forced to find new original stories. After all, the only constant that we can depend upon is change. So that's my take on The Devil Wears Prada 2. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.